Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
All right, saints, praise the Lord. Take your seat. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I bring you greetings this morning. I'm happy that you're here in the presence of the Lord. I bring greetings to the upper venue. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Today, bring you greetings by way of podcast. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. We thank you. You're extraordinary. You're wonderful. You do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think. God, you have amazed us this week. We know you're going to amaze us today and for the remainder of the week. We ask, God, that you would continue to bless us in today's service. Bless us to continue to be a blessing. Now, Lord, as we get into your word, break up the fallow ground of our heart that something can be planted. The word can be planted and bring forth a hundredfold return. Think through my mind, Lord, please. Speak through my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. And every glad heart said, amen.
Amen.
Okay. A few weeks ago, we started with King Saul. We discovered that none of you wanted to be him. Then we went to King David. Everyone wanted to be him until we found out that he was an adulterer and a murderer. Then nobody wanted to be him until we found out that he was the apple of God's eye because he didn't do everything perfect, but he had a perfect response. Then we wanted to be him again. And now we are down to David's life ending and him handing the kingdom to his son Solomon. Yeah. And here's what the scripture reads in 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. Simply says it like this. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself as a man and keep charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, for his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and whatever and wherever you turn. Amen. That the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention, if Solomon pays attention, if baby James pays attention to their way to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Today, I want to illustrate this to you, that it is not enough to know that you're called to be a king or queen for God. You've got to know that you have a responsibility to the next generation to make sure that the word is deeply within them, that it wasn't just that he was next in line, the bloodline to be king, but he put an emphasis that the word, his will and his way must be in Solomon in order to maintain the blessing. Yeah. So I wonder, someone should grab his mic, is the word in you? We study Proverbs in my house, and I want to know, is the word in you? Is word in you?
Yeah.
Then give me a word today. See what's in you.
My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life and bring you peace and prosperity. Right. The love and faithfulness never leave you. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. For they will win you favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight.
Give me some more. More.
Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. For this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
Yes.
Honor the Lord with all your wealth, your first fruits of your crops, and your barns will be overflowing. Your vats will be filled brim over with new wine.
Yes.
My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. For the Lord disciplines those that he loves, like a father who delights in his son.
Yes.
Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare to her. In her right hand is long life, in her left hand is riches and honor.
Good. Yeah.
All her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is like a tree to those who hold on to her, and those who hold her fast will be blessed.
All right. The word is in. The word has to be in you. The word has to be in you and in the next generation. Now, in that, the word has to be in you, and you have to apply the word to your life. What about that stuck out to you in that proverb you read?
Do not despise discipline.
Why does that stick out to you? What did the Lord show you about that?
If you didn't discipline me, you didn't care.
See, there you go. Thank you, son. Good job. That was the king's speech, David, to his son Solomon. But it's not enough for that speech to go to Solomon. Solomon has to have a speech back. He has to have a response. We need to record his speech back to David's speech to him. And that's recorded in 1 Kings 3, verse 6. Here's how Solomon says it. And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father." He's speaking to God. This is a speech to God. "Because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness in heart towards you. And you have kept him with great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God," Not my dad's God, my God, "you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child." Now, he was about 20 or so years old, but you can see the humility. "I do not know how to go out and come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted, the multitude. Verse 9, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may govern and discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people?" Verse 10, "it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life, riches, and the life of your enemy, but have asked for yourself understanding and to discern what is right." See, God has asked me, what do you want one day? And I can recall times when I should have asked for stuff like Solomon did. And I said, "Lord, I need some stuff." See, this seemed like the right and spiritual answer, but you know, like me, that this is real deep that he's asking for this information. Because when we go before God, we need stuff. I got bills. I got circumstances. I'm not thinking about others as much as I'm thinking about myself many times. That is the condition that we are in as humans. He said, "Behold, I now do according to you." He said, "because you have not asked this, but have asked, but you have asked for yourself understanding and discernment for what is right. Behold, now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you should be after you. I give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways," this is back to the command though, "keeping my statutes, my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Now, isn't it funny that he says, "I want you to keep the commandments like your father David did," but we just learned last week that David didn't keep all the commandments. So, in other words, God is not after perfection with any of us, but he's after a perfect response. Any of us at any time might have a breach of a commandment, but when you breach, will you repent? Saul would not repent. So, God has given a speech to Solomon. David has given a speech to Solomon. Now God in turn has given a speech to Solomon. about holding on to the commandments. What were the commandments? Hey, Solomon, Deuteronomy 17 and 14 says it clearly. As a king, I don't want you to have a lot of wives. As king, I don't want you to store up a lot of gold and silver. As king, I don't want you to go back to Egypt. As king, I want you to get a copy of the law so that you can live as an example before all of the Israelites and not live as above them, but an example to them. Amen. You see, we have a choice. Wisdom is therefore great, what Solomon had, but it's not enough to make him great. Wisdom in and of itself is just knowledge. It's power. It's information. But what he lacked a great deal of is prudence. Prudence would have been wisdom's correct application. He had wisdom to a full extent in a measure to week that we could see him build great buildings, great armies, great wealth. But his wisdom left him outside of deep, intimate relationship with God. So if a man gains the whole world and loses his whole, what does he gain? My mom, when I was growing up, she ended up getting a divorce from my natural father. And they had a deal that if anything ever happened to one of them, that they would raise us as royalty. And so my mom would say, I don't care what goes on in somebody else's house, baby. That's not for you. If I say you in when the street lights come on, you in when the street lights come on. If I say, baby, you don't go to rated R movies, you don't go to rated R movies. Now, I'm not saying I ain't go there because I went to see The Poltergeist and it still messed me up. I still see stuff at night coming and I just turn the light on. That's the only way you can get rid of that stuff. Turn the light on. Y'all laughing because y'all turning the light on at your house too. Don't watch none of that stuff. My mama was right. You can have the information, but prudence, the lack of prudence will have you have the right wisdom of what to do, but didn't apply it. Solomon was told what to do, but you see in the scripture that he married 700 women. You know that's crazy. You don't even have to be spiritual. You can understand, that's 700. What's wrong with you? You thinking, how is he that wise and that off at the same time? And God had told him, Solomon, don't do this, because if you do this, they're going to turn your heart from me. And he disobeyed. In Proverbs 31, as she's teaching her son, she says, oh, Lemuel, I want to tell you some things that are not for kings. She begins to list them in Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. She says, oh, Lemuel, you know what's not for kings? Drinking. Well, hold on, Pastor James. I didn't know it was that kind of Sunday. Now, I like a glass of wine with my steak. And that's, now I'm not coming after you. Drink your. I'm just saying what she said to Lemuel. She said, it wasn't for kings. She said, in the mixed drink is not for you. She says, because it impairs your judgment. And you need to judge rightly. She shall be aware of women. Now, again, I love the Bible because sometimes it tells you exactly what to do. And sometimes it only gives you principles. And it only gives you mindsets. And it only gives you clues. And it says, do what you want to do. And so we're not making a doctrine out of that. Do what you want to do. But she was just telling her son, that's not for you. Like my mom was telling me, you don't go in a store with somebody else when you're young. And then one day the revelation hit me. My mom said, you're not allowed to go in a store with someone else. And because they might do a crime and pin it on you. And then one day I saw a crime happen. My friends were putting stuff in the other people's pocket and they walked out the store doing it, and I saw what was happening. You see, what Solomon walk in the right ways. Wisdom is available to all, Solomon, to all James, baby James, congregation. But the question is, will we have the prudence to apply it? You know, 2 million people leave their jobs every month, a week, one of those, in America. You know why? I didn't say they get fired. I said they left. Because they don't want a boss. It's this land of the free, home of the brave. Don't tell me what to do. Something about even the preacher. I like you. But too many sermons, too much tough stuff. Stop that. We ain't coming down to the altar today. We came 2 times already. Back that off. Give us a nice sermon. You know, we done paid our tithes for being, treat us nice. We'll pay somewhere else. Well, I got some churches waiting on me. They calling my number. Watch it, preacher. I'm just playing. This is going to be a nice one. I don't want you to leave. You see, we don't want to be told what to do. And something about Solomon took and extracted the good from God, but left out the detailed instructions. He took all of the things that God had that made him great. Now, Proverbs 8 helps us really identify with Solomon and 3 words that marked his life. Solomon's greatness was marked by these 3 words, but they also showed us his failure at the same time. Prudence, prosperity, and partnership were the secrets to his life and the downfall of his life at the same time. They were the secrets that took him where he needed to go, but at the same time, they were the very things that that caused him to fail to reach the pinnacle with God of where he could have went. Proverbs 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights besides the way, on the crossroads, she takes her stand. Besides the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call. And my cry is to the children of man. Oh, simple ones, learn prudence. Oh, fools, learn sense or common sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things from my lips." Wisdom is crying out to you. I don't know what to do, Pastor James. I'm confused. I'm just at a crossroads. Well, the Bible says that when you're at that crossroads, wisdom cries out to you. When you're at that decision on your job, when you're at that decision in your home, in that relationship, wisdom is crying out to you, telling you what to do and what not to do. Wisdom is right there in the midst of your relationship when you're about to say that one thing in response to your spouse that can set you back 2 weeks. Wisdom says, "Don't say it." But the Bible says understanding is crying out at the same time. Prudence, I'm going to show you how to apply these things. Wisdom is the knowledge. But prudence is the correct application of the knowledge. If you get the knowledge that you shouldn't respond in anger or you shouldn't grievous words stir up strife, but yet you have that information but you do not apply it, it is of no use to you. Or if you apply it to a measure, or if you apply it in a manipulative way, it's still of no use to you. I was, you know, we just had something ridiculous happen here at the church. Last night, I came here to church. Somebody sent out on Facebook or Instagram or something that there was a party going on in the neighborhood. And that the flyer said, you know, some type of party, it was going to be liquor and drinking, and they had some half-naked people on there. And at the bottom, the biggest letters was Bethel World Outreach Church. I said, Jesus, look at that. I was like, come, like we sponsoring it. That's real. So I'm in my car on the way up here. So I get up here, and it's wrong stuff in our parking lot. Oh, yes. You ought to have more sense than to come to the church dressed like that and even to get picked up. So I got out thinking, it's not wisdom crying out to you. And I asked the guy, I said, do you think God wants you to come here and do this activity? No, you got me wrong, Pastor. I go to church. My granddaddy, he a pastor. I said, now listen, your granddaddy mad at you. He just don't, if he was here right now, he'd be telling me to whoop you. I said, you need to go home. Wisdom is always crying out, trying to keep you in trouble, keep you out of trouble. Wisdom is trying to get you to make the right decisions. God, when you have wisdom, that means you've got God's word. You've got his will. You've got his way. But you've got to make a choice. It's not enough that James stands up here and speaks the scripture. He's got to learn how to apply the scripture to his life. It's not enough that you sat in church. Will you write this stuff down that you can go and apply it to your life? It's not enough that you just kind of know what you should do. When are you going to get busy and do it? It's not enough, Solomon, that you know all of the rules of how the temple should be built. Do you know how the inward man should live his life? Prudence is something he was, wisdom was something he had. Prudence was something he was aware of but didn't do. And you know why he lacked it? It's because the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but all get and get an understanding. He said, Job 28:28 says, he said, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's what he lost. When you and I lose the fear of the Lord, when you lose that sense that there's no punishment, there's no reprisal, there's no discipline, there's no the scripture that James quoted, and he said, don't despise the discipline of God. God will discipline you. You never got a divine whooping. The Bible says a fool calls for strokes because a fool begins to say in his heart, there is no God, or God is not watching, or God is not caring, or God's not watching over his word, or God wasn't really serious about that. You can't sin and not get away with it. The wages of sin is still death. There's still a penalty for it. You lose the fear of God because you haven't embraced the application through prudence. Solomon, that's what happened to you. You had it, but you only applied it to a measure. Prosperity. Solomon goes on, and the Bible says that he is, in verse 15, it says, by me kings reign, rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold and fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness and in the path of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The number one thing that we pray for in our home every day is for wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and hold back nothing. But when he asks, ask in faith, because if you ask doubting, you're like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed. Let that man not believe he receives anything from God. God is not hiding back from you the one thing that you need, and it is wisdom. You need wisdom more than you need money. You need wisdom more than you need silver. You need wisdom more than you need a job, a business, a hookup, a break. You need wisdom, because when you get wisdom, all the other things that you need come along with it. All the breakthroughs that you need come along with it. You need the wisdom, the knowledge, and then you get the correct application and the prudence. But the enemy has somehow got us to chase after the wrong thing. You're chasing money and stuff instead of chasing God, who has the wisdom that you need that will always come with it, the money. Remember, he says wisdom has an inheritance with it. Wisdom has an inheritance to impart to you. So why should you ever be broke? That's one of the things God told me. If you embrace wisdom, if you love wisdom, you should never, listen to me, be broke another day in your life. You should never be lacking a day in your life, because wisdom will call out to you at the crossroads and show you where the miracle breakthrough is. He will go to a widow and he will tell her, go into your house. I want you to go borrow pots, and I want you to get all those pots, and I want you to take the little oil you have, and a miracle pour is going to happen, and go sell, pay off your debt, and live off the rest. God's got more than enough provision to show you exactly what to do when you get involved in what he's doing. Wealth is there. Wealth is there. But when you doubt, when you pray and ask God for wisdom and doubt that he's giving you the wisdom to get the breakthrough, it'll never come, because you trust God and then you're driven. That's what was happening in the South. Let me tell you, this man was rich. He got 50,000 pounds of gold. 50,000 pounds of gold. That's billions of dollars. Billions in 1 year. The Bible says he was so rich. In fact, there was no man, no king ever richer than him. And yet he was so rich with men and men's favor, but he was not rich toward God. He lost God's favor. Do you have the prosperity without the person that's behind it? Are you sitting in your car, your house, and with your good health, with everything that you're enjoying without God? Is that the case? Final point is partnership. Listen to this speech from wisdom herself. The speech that wisdom would say to us if it was trying to help us understand how important she is. Wisdom says this: the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. The first thing the Lord did before anything else was get wisdom. Ages ago, I set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had begun to shake. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with fields, or first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made the firm... that made firm the skies above, when he established the mountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worksman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. Wisdom was there in the beginning with God. Before anything was created, God created knowledge. So in other words, that's why everything that you see has a structure, has a system. That's why you look at a cell and it can still be divided to a least common denominator. That's why everything has a root. Goes from a fruit to a root. That's why everything has a structure or a system that it's built on, because it was built. The thought process, the blueprint was built with wisdom before he even spoke the first word. He didn't speak without thought. So if you don't partner, so God says, when there was nothing, I took wisdom before I created something. My first partner was wisdom. So your first partner in anything you do has to be wisdom. Wisdom is simply a word from God, his way, his will. That's all it is, Solomon. That's all it is, James. That's all it is, congregation. Wisdom is simply the specifics from God about your life, your circumstance, exactly what he wants you to do, and the prudence to know it must be applied exactly. You must follow his instructions, Solomon, exactly. Solomon began to build the temple with Hiram. Exactly. He partnered with the one person that could bring him the timber, that could have been his adversary or could have turned into his enemy, but he partnered with God to build something, and then he partnered with the right earthly partners. You cannot partner with people before you partner with God. You've got to partner with the right person. It's God. Final scripture I want to read you says this, and that's verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise. And do not neglect this. Don't neglect what I'm saying. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching how often? Daily. This is something you watch for daily at my gates, waiting beside my door. For what? Wisdom. For whom finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me, wisdom and prudence, injures himself. All who hate me love death. If you're not searching for wisdom, you're hating on yourself. You're going to leave here early. If you're not searching for the very tool that God uses, the first thing that God partners with, the thing that God used to prosper, the thing that you must use prudence to apply, then you're not going to win. But you can get all of this information like Solomon had, is what I wanted to tell you today. Solomon had all the information I just gave you. And he got to the end of his life. And he realized that, you stand to your feet. I want to say this as you stand to your feet. Solomon got to the end of his life. And I'm glad for Solomon. I don't think he's a bad person. But this is what I think we learned from Solomon. You can get all of the women, or if you were a girl, all of the men you want in life. You can have all of the prestige you want. People can call your name for the whole of your life. You can have all of the money. Nobody had the type of money Solomon had. You can have the largest navy, the biggest throne. You can be the wisest, know everything there is about animals and nature. And know what? No human being can compare to you. And you can say the things that Solomon said about his life in Ecclesiastes 12. That after I experienced everything, all of the eating I want, all of the pleasures I want, life is nothing but vanity, vanity. He was a dissatisfied person getting everything he wanted outside of God's will for his life. There is no other thing that causes you to prosper except the divine will of God. Staying within his commandments, staying within his statutes, staying within his laws is the wisdom that you need, the knowledge that you need to apply through prudence. How many times have we heard the way we should go and still went the opposite way? Now you see a man who gets everything he wants with the strength that he has, only to get to the end of his life and make this statement. Hear the conclusion of the matter. After I've lived everywhere I want to live, I say, fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For every man shall stand before God to give an account of the good and the evil that they have done. I'm asking everybody in here today to renew their commitment to fear God. I'm asking everybody here today to renew their commitment to fear God, keep his commandment. If that's you today, and you want me to pray for you because I'm renewing my commitment fear God, to keep his commandments. I'm not just going to have wisdom and not prudence. I'm not going to keep wanting to prosper and failing to apply the information God's given me to prosper. And I'm going to enter into divine partnership with God and with man. If that's you today and you want me to pray for you, raise your hand up. Raise your hand up all over this place. Up in the upper venue, raise your hand up. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that a new fire and a new grace would hit everybody in this room. God, you've called us kings and queens to reign with you in this life and the next. God, don't let us be like Saul who never repented. Don't let us be like Solomon who had your words and the best that you had to offer and still chose to worship and serve other gods and serve himself just to get to the end of his life wasted to find out that serving you was the only choice he could have made that was good. God, with the breath that we have in our bodies, with our hands lifted in surrender, give us a wise and understanding heart. Give us the prudence that is necessary. Give us, God, because we seek wisdom with you to prosper, that we might be distribution centers of your wealth to this world, to fulfill your mission. Not to build up silver and gold for ourselves, which kings and queens were told not to do, but to distribute it, God. Help us to be more like you today. We have our hands lifted up. Lord, loose partners. First you. First wisdom, the divine blueprint. You, Lord, we want you to be our partner. Our spouses, may our spouses be in a greater partnership with us. Loose people to get in partnership with us to fulfill the vision. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd like my ministry team to come down as I dismiss you in just a moment here. If you have any prayer needs whatsoever, ministry team will be down here to pray for you guys, pastors and ministry team. If you just come on down. If you have any needs, want prayer for healing, salvation, need to get connected to church family, we're here for you. Lord, bless your people as they leave this place for not your presence. Keep them in the center of your will and the apple of your eye, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.